For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is January the 24th, and we are in Malachim Beis Perek Yud Dalet, chapter 14. Bishnas Shtaim liYoash ben Yoachaz Melech Yisrael, in the second year of Yoash ben Yoachaz, king of Israel, Malach Amatsyahu ben Yoash Melech Yehuda. So Amatsyahu, the son of Yoash, became king in Yehuda. Ben Esrim v'chomesh shana haya b'malcho. He is 25 years old when he became king. Ve'esrim v'aseisha shana malach b'Yerushalayim. He ruled for 29 years. V'shem imo Yeho Adon min Yerushalayim. And his mother's name was Yeho Adon from Yerushalayim. Vayas hayashar b'nei Hashem. And he did what was appropriate, what was right in the eyes of Hashem. Rak lo k'David aviv, but not like David his father. When he did as his father Yoash did. Raka bamos lo saru, only the bamos, the private altars were not removed. Od ha'am mezabchim u'mekatrim b'bamos, the nation was still slaughtering and burning on bamos. So he was a righteous king. Just to read to you how it says it in Divrei Hayamim. It says, this is in Perek Chaf Hei, chapter 25 in Divrei Yom Beis. It says, Vayas Hayasher b'nei Hashem. He did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. Rak lo b'lev of Shalim, only not with a complete heart. So, similar phrase, Rak lo b'lev of Shalim. So, Amatsyahu does the right thing. He's a righteous king. Now, you need to keep that in mind as we see what happens throughout the rest of his kingdom, his kingship, his rulership. But he is remembered as a righteous king. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayhi kasher chazka hamamlacha biyado, was when the kingdom became strong in his hands, in other words, once he consolidated his reign. Vayaches avadav, so he struck his slaves, his servants, hamakimes hamelech aviv, the ones who struck down his father, the king, the ones who killed Yoash. Remember, Yoash was worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, even though he was also a righteous king. But in the end of his reign, he unfortunately was worshipped as an Avodah Zarah because he had survived in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. So people started to worship him. Zechariah the Navi came to admonish him. And he had Zechariah killed. That was a terrible Avera. That's the boiling blood, which we learned about last time. And now, he was killed. He, Yoash, was killed by his servants. So now, once his son Amatsyah becomes king and consolidates his own kingdom, then he avenges the blood of his father and kills the two slaves, the two servants who killed his father. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Ves penei amakim lo hemis, but he did not kill the sons of those who killed his father. He did not wipe out their families. Kakasuv b'sefer Torah Moshe, as it says in the Torah, Sefer of Torah Moshe, Asher tziva Hashem lemar, that Hashem commanded, saying, Lo yumsu avos al banim, that fathers will not die because of sons, uvanim lo yumsu al avos, and sons will not die because of fathers, kim ish becheto, you must, rather, each man will die for his own sin. This is a pasuk in the Chumash, and he abided by this pasuk and did not kill the children of those who killed his father. The Mevarshim point out that it was commonplace for kings, when they took revenge, or when someone committed treason, that they would kill that person and his entire line. It was both a way of preventing further treason, because very often the children will have the same political views as their parents, and so in order to ensure that there would not be any more insurrection, they would kill out the children as well. And it was also a way of making the punishment a very dire punishment. If a person would commit treason, they were putting not only their own lives in danger, but also the lives of their children, so their entire families. So therefore, it was commonplace that in the face of treason, entire families would be wiped out. That was commonplace in the world over. And if you think about it, it's a very effective way of preventing and stopping treason. The Mefarshim in the Chumash already say that this pasuk in the Chumash is there, that Hashem is saying, even the kings may not kill out the families of those who commit treason or married by Malchus. They can only kill the person himself who does the sin, but not the children. And Amatzia, who was a righteous king, abides by the Torah and does not kill out the children of those who killed his father. Even though, from the fact that the Navi has to write it, you see that he really wanted to. You see that had it not been for the Torah's commandment, that's what he would have done. But he listened. He abided by the Torah, which shows his righteousness. From this pasuk in the Torah, we not only derive that a child does not die for the sins of the father, we also derive from here that a father cannot testify about a child, and a child cannot testify about a father, because they're related to each other, therefore their testimony is invalid. That's also derived from this pasuk, not here in Navi, from the one in Chumash, but the point that we're bringing from here is that he went against what would have been the logical thing to do, which would have been to kill out the children as well, and he did not do it. And this is significant because it's reinforcing for us that he did the yashar b'nei Hashem, that he did what was correct, what he did was appropriate. Pasuk 9, verse 7. Hu hikas Edom begei melach. He struck Edom in Gei Melach. So he attacked Edom. Edom had been giving trouble to the Jewish people, so he attacked. And he struck them. He killed Aseres Alafim, 10,000. He killed 10,000 men from Edom. Remember that, please, that we're going to discuss that a little bit more in depth soon. V'safas es ha-sela b'milchama. And he was able to take control of the stone. There was a large stone. A stone that here doesn't mean like a rock in the ground. It means like a, well, I guess it wasn't stone mountain, but something tall, something big, as we'll see later. A very high area. It was a strategic area. He was able to take control of this sela in the war. Vayikra es shema Yokseel anayom hazeh. And it was called Yokseel. That was the name of they named that stone Yokseel until this day. Why Yokseel? So Chazal tell us because of the term. You know this from the Haggadah. Where it says, one second. Is it in the Haggadah itself? Is that the language over there? Not from that God. I'm making a mistake. But anyway, I just remember with the Rasha it says Af Ata Hakei Shinov. That's what it says. That you should be Hakei his teeth. Now I believe it's not spelled over there with a kuf, which means to hit. It says Hakei with a kuf. Hakei huf hey kuf hey hey right Hakei Shinov. Which means to blunt his teeth. That's what it means. This word comes from the same root. Rashi says over here, Shahai salo lekihui shinayim, because it was for a blunting of his teeth, this capturing of the stone. Meaning that when he defeated Edom, he then did something wrong. And because of his defeat of Edom, it led to his doing some things incorrectly. So, what did he do incorrectly? It's not mentioned here in Malachim. I'm going to fill in the story with Divrei Hayamim soon, after we finish reading through what happens here in Malachim. So, what we have right now is that he defeated Edom and killed 10,000 of them, and he got a hold of this strategic large stone, very high stone, and its name became Yuxael, and we understand there's some sort of a kihuyanaim, some sort of blunting of his teeth that happened from this. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Oz shalach Amatzia malachim, then Amatzia sent messengers, el Yehoash ben Yehoachaz ben Yehu melech Yisrael, lemar, to Yehoash, the son of Yehoachaz, the son of Yehu, the king of Yisrael, saying, lecha nisra'efonim, let us, literally this means, see each other's face. What it means is, I declare a war on you. That's what it means. We're going to have a war here. Let's see who's the better army. Now, it doesn't tell us why Amatzia decided to do this. The information will be filled in once we get more information about what happened over here. But we understand from here, from Malachim, that he decided to have a war with Yehoash, the king of Yisrael. Now, this was folly, because Melech Yisrael was much more powerful than Melech Yehuda at this time. Yet Amatzia felt empowered from his defeating Edom that he could now attack Yehoash. Yehoash therefore makes mention of this in the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayishlach Yehoash Melech Yisrael el Amatziahu Melech Yehuda lemar. So Yehoash, the king of Yisrael, sent a message back to Amatziahu, the king of Yehuda, saying, Hachoach Asher Balavanon, the choach, the bush, the little bush that was in the Levanon. Shalach el Ha'erez Asher Balavanon lemar, sent to the cedar that's in the Levanon, saying, he's comparing Amatziahu to this small bush and himself to the Erez, to the cedar. Tanaes bitcha livni li'isha, give me your daughter for my son as a wife, which was a chutzpah because the choach was a little nothing, and he's asking, or he's telling, the cedar that you should give your daughter to my son as a wife. So the cedar said, "Vatavar chayas hasada sheba levanon." So the animals of the field that were in the Levanon came by, "Vatirmos es hachoach," and they trampled the choach, which means the cedar didn't even have to bother himself with the choach. He just let his servants, the animals, go and trample the choach. So this was a put down that Yehoash was sending to Amatziahu, essentially saying, who do you think you are? And you're going to start up with me, you're going to get yourself slammed. And then he continues, Hakehi kisas Edom, you struck Edom, unusa'acha libecha, and now your heart has lifted you up, which means now you have gaiva, now you have arrogance. He kaved v'shev b'vesecha, make yourself heavy and stay in your house. Why should you start up an evil? V'nafalta, and you will fall. Atav Yehuda imach, you and Yehuda with you. So he warned him, don't do this, because I'm gonna really beat you up. V'lo shama Amatziahu did not listen. V'yal Yehoash melech Yisrael. So Yehoash, the king of Yisrael, came up. V'yisrael ufanim, they had a war. Hu v'amatziahu melech Yehuda, he, meaning Yehoash, the king of Yisrael, and Amatziahu, the king of Yehuda, b'veis shemesh asher Yehuda, in Beis Shemesh, which was in Yehuda, they had a war. V'yinagef Yehuda lifnei Yisrael, Yehuda was soundly beaten by Yisrael. V'yanusu ish lo halav, and each man ran to his tent. They dispersed and ran away. V'yis Amatziahu melech Yehuda ben Yehoash ben Achaziahu, tafas Yehoash melech Yisrael b'veis shemesh. So Amatziahu, the king of Yehuda, the son of Yehoash, the son of Achaziahu, was captured by Yehoash, the king of Yisrael, in Beis Shemesh. Vayavo Yerushalayim, then they came to Yerushalayim, so he brought his prisoner, the king, to Yerushalayim. Vayifrotz b'chomas Yerushalayim, and he knocked down part of the wall of Yerushalayim. Bishar Ephraim ad Shar Apina, in Shar Ephraim until Shar Apina, which I'm not sure exactly where those gates are, but he knocked down the walls. Arba meos ama, 400 amos of wall he knocked down. So we're talking about roughly 600 feet of wall he knocked down. It's a large swath of wall that he knocked down. This was to prevent further insurrection, because now the city of Yerushalayim is not a safe city because the wall has been knocked down, part of it anyway. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the utensils that were found in the Beis HaMikdash and in the treasuries of the king, and the sons of the Ta'aruvas. Ta'aruvas means mixture, but it means here that he took it doesn't mean mixture over here. It comes from the word eravon. Eravon means to guarantee something, a guarantor. The reason why guarantor and mixture come from the same root is because when you guarantee my loan, you and I are mixing together in this. I'm borrowing the money, but you're on the hook to pay back. So we've mixed together. We've joined. It's like an eruv on Shabbos. You join together. Same root. So he took the sons of the Taruvos, which means he took the children of Amatzio, not necessarily all of them, but he took some of them with him, Vayashav Shomrona, and he returned to Shomron. This was also a very common tool to prevent insurrection. You took the children of the rival kings in the area. And on threat of death, if they would attack, then their children's lives would be at risk. That was a very common thing to do. And he took Amatzio's children as hostages to prevent further insurrection. V'yeser divrei Yehoash asher asa u'gvuraso v'asher nilchami Amatzio melech Yehuda. The rest of the words of Yehoash, not Amatzio. Amatzio is still king, but Yehoash predeceases Amatzio. So the rest of the words of Yehoash that he did and all his strengths and that he fought with Amatzio, the king of Yehuda, halem ksuvim al sefer dirayam l'malcha Yisrael. They're written in the Chronicles of the Malcha Yisrael. Vayishkav Yehoash im avosav. Yehoash dies. Vayikaver b'shomron im malcha Yisrael. So he was buried in Shomron with the kings of Yisrael. Vayimloch Yeravam ben Otachtav. And Yeravam, his son, ruled after him. Yeravam is the fourth generation in the dynasty of Yehu. Yehu killed Arachav. This is the fourth one. It was Yehu, Achazyahu, Yehoash, and now Yeravam. Now this is the second Yeravam we had. Of course, the first Yeravam is the famous or infamous Yeravam ben Nevat. This is not the same person. This is Yeravam, the son of Yehoash, in the dynasty of Yehu. Vayhi Amatzio ben Yoash melech Yehuda acharemos Yehoash ben Yoachaz melech Yisrael chamesh esrei shana. And Amatzio ben Yoash, the king of Yehuda, ruled after the death of Yehoash ben Yoachaz, the king of Israel, for 15 years. So he ruled for a total of 29 years. After 14 years of his reign, then Yehoash, the king of Yisrael, dies, and Amatzio continues as king for another 15 years in Yehuda. V'yeser divrei Amatzio halohim ksuvim al sefer divrayom l'malcha Yehuda. The rest of what happens with Amatzio is written in the sefer divrayom of Yehuda. Vayikshu alav kesher b'Yerushalayim, and there was a rebellion against him in Yerushalayim. Vayonas lachisha, he escaped to Lachish. Vayishluchu acharav lachisha, and they sent after him to Lachish. Vayimisuhu sham, and they killed him there. Vayisu oso al asusim, they carried him on horses. Vayikaver b'Yerushalayim imavosav b'Ir David, he was buried in Yerushalayim with his ancestors in Ir David. And then Amatziahu's son is going to become king. So we're not giving much information over here. Why was there a rebellion? What happened? That's not told to us. So we're going to pause here. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, which is now switching to the son of Amatzio, which is Azaryahu, or sometimes known as Uzziah. And we'll learn about him, Mitzvah Hashem, next time. But right now we're going to fill in the details of the reign of Amatziahu. Now remember that Amatziahu was characterized as a king that went b'derech hayashar, in the right way. Not like David, wasn't on that level, but he did the right thing. Unfortunately, he does do some things wrong, which is what we've seen, that, I think we can all relate to that. We like to think that we are good people, but unfortunately, we also do things wrong. And Amatzio was like that. Now, important you should know is that we're learning through Sefer Malachim in the order of how things go. So we have Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim. Now there are other books, other Svarim of Tanakh, which fit in different places. So we know, for example, Rus, Megillas Rus, fits in before Shmuel. Rus is earlier than Shmuel. It was written by Shmuel, actually. And it fits in, if you're reading, if you want to know where to put Rus. Rus happens during the days of the Shoftim. It's within Sefer Shoftim, that's where Rus goes chronologically. So here, at this point in Malachim, we are almost up to the time of the famous Navi Yeshayahu. We're almost there. He is going to be on the scene pretty soon. Now, we're not going to learn about him and say from Malachim, at least not directly. Indirectly, yes, but not directly. We have its own Sefer Yeshaya, and we have it. So, but in terms of the chronology of things, he comes onto the scene very, very soon. His father's name is Amotz. It's Yeshayahu ben Amotz. That's what it says in Sefer Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu ben Amotz. Amotz and Amatzyahu are brothers. Yeshayahu, the Navi, is from Shevet Yehuda. And Amotz and Amatzyahu are brothers. He's the nephew of the king. That's who Yeshayahu is. So we're almost up to where he comes onto the scene. He's, you know, I don't know exactly when he's born, but he's in this time frame. This is where he's about to come onto the scene. And Yeshayahu actually, he lives a long life, even though he dies tragically, but he lives a long life, and he spans several kings. He spans several kings, starting with Amatziahu's son, Azariahu or Uziah, as we'll see. He's going to be on the scene for him, and on. His Yeshayahu's first nevuah is during the reign of the next king, of Uziahu. That's where he's going to have his first nevuah. So he's about to the scene. But I'm telling you this because we need to know that Yeshayahu's father, Amotz, is now here. He's alive. He's the brother of the king Amatziahu, which is significant for what I'm going to tell you from Divrei Hayamim. Now, Divrei Hayamim, as often happens, fills in some details that we do not have in Malachim. And of course, the stories dovetail each other. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra.
And where are you in?
I'm in Perek Chaf Hei, chapter 25 of Divrei Hayomim Beis. So as I already told you, that it says the similar psukim about what was right in the eyes of Hashem, and it also tells us that he killed those who killed his father and did not kill their children, as it says in the Torah of Moshe. Then, I'm sorry.
Divrei Hayomim.
Then the pasuk tells us in Divrei Hayamim Beis that Amatziahu counted the army of Yehuda and Binyamin appropriately. He counted the way you're supposed to count them, and he counted out that they had 300,000 members of the army, Yotzei Tzava. Now listen to this. I'm starting from pasuk Vav, verse 6. In Divrei Hayamim Beis Chaf Hei. Vayiskor mi Yisrael mea elef gibor chayol b'mea chikar kasef. And he hired, Amatziahu hired from Melech Yisrael, from the northern kingdom, 100,000 soldiers for the price tag of 100 kikar kasef. So he hired soldiers for hire. He hired to augment his own army of 300,000 strong. He hired another 100,000. So he would have 400,000 with which to attack Edom. So evidently, Amatziahu did not feel that he was strong enough on his own to attack Edom. So he hired soldiers from Yehoash. And at this time, there was obviously shalom, or at least if not actual shalom, but certainly there was a truce between Melech Yisrael and Melech Yehuda, because he was willing to rent him soldiers. So obviously they're getting along to some extent. And he did this with the intention of attacking Edom. V'ish ho'elokim ba'elav lemar. A Navi comes to Amatzio saying, Hamelech, the king, Al yavo imcha tzva Yisrael, do not let the army of Yisrael, the northern kingdom, come with you. Ki ein Hashem im Yisrael kol b'nei Ephraim, because Hashem is not with Yisrael, is not with the northern kingdom. all of Bnei Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom. Hashem is not with them. We know that they were doing Averos. And therefore Hashem is not with them. Ki imbo ata asei chazak lamilchama. Because if you're going to come, be strong in the war. Because, meaning, if you're not going to listen to me, you're just going to do what you want to do. Yachshilcha Elokim lifnei oyev, Hashem will make you stumble in front of the enemy. Ki yesh koach be'elokim la'azor v'lachshil. Because Hashem has this power to help and to make stumble. Don't do it. Don't bring them. And don't be worried about losing the war, because Hashem can make you win without them. Hashem doesn't need you to take them to win the war. And if he's telling you don't take them, then you can also lose by taking them. Hashem can make you lose no matter what. So Amatzio is said to the Navi, what am I going to do about the 100,000, about the 100 kikar kesef, the 100 silver talents that I already gave on behalf of the army of Yisrael? You're telling me to waste my money. I already invested in this. I paid already. I paid up front. Vayomer Yisho Elokim. So Yisho Elokim said, Yesh la Hashem lasas lecha harbe mizeh. Hashem give you a lot more than this. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about losing the war, and don't worry about losing your money. Hashem can take care of you either way. So Amatziyahu listened. This again is showing the tzidkus, the righteousness of Amatziyahu. He listened. Even though he was afraid of losing the war, that he didn't think that it was enough men to win the war, and he's willing to pay heavily for more soldiers, and even though he'd already invested the money, he was willing to give up what he had invested. And Vayav Dileim Amatziyahu La Gedura Sherboy Lof Me'Ephraim. Amatziyahu separated that army that had come to him from Ephraim. Lo Leches Dim Kalam, to go home. Vayichar Apam Ma'od BiYehuda. Those 100,000, they got very angry at Yehuda. They felt insulted. Here they were hired to come to war, and now they're not good enough to be in the Yehuda army. They went back home angry. So that means that by listening to the Navi, Amatziyahu, first of all, has lost money. Second of all, he's now in a position of weakness that he's afraid of losing the war. But, I mean, I don't know if he's actually afraid, but that because he trusts in Hashem. But that was the concern. And now he's created an enemy. He's created that the 100,000, that's a lot of people, 100,000 people gone home. And what do you think they're going to do when they get home? Who are they going to talk to? Right? You know what they did to us down there in Yehuda? First they tell us to come to war, then we're not good enough. Our swords aren't as good as their swords. We're not, right? There was now there's bad blood. All of this because he listened to the Navi. And then of course we know that he attacks Seir and defeats them without the 100,000 of Yisrael. He's able to do it on his own. Who was the Navi that came to him? Chazal say the Navi was
Amos.
But be careful, it's not Amos, Amos with the Tzadi. Amos is somebody else. And it's Aleph Mem Vav Tzadi. Amos, the Navi Amos is Ayin Mem Vav Samach. This is Amos. Let me write on the board so people can get that straight. The Amos is one of the Treyasar. This we're dealing with Amos. Aleph Mem Vav Tzadi. The one in Treyasar is Amos. Ayin Mem Vav Samach. Who actually also lives around this time, but not quite yet, but we're coming up with him too. He'll be on the scene pretty soon. But here we're dealing with Amos. So Amos, the father of Yeshaya, was also a Navi, and he's the Navi that comes to his brother Amatziyahu and tells him all this. Now Amatziyahu listens, and because he listens, he wins the war. Now, at this point in time, if he listened to Hashem, and Hashem said, and the Navi told him, don't worry about the war, don't worry about the money. So, what would you think ought to happen? Well, let me say it this way. Should he be worried about the 100,000 soldiers of Yisrael who are now angry with him?
No,
he did what Hashem told him to do. Meaning, obviously, we don't look to create bad blood. We have certain halachos in Shulchan Aruch that we do mishum eva in order to avoid hatred. There are certain things that we do in Shulchan Aruch that the reason for it is to prevent hatred. We don't want non-Jews. We don't want to have people hating us for no reason. But if you do what Hashem tells you to do, and nevertheless somebody hates you for it, that's we have to have emunah that Hashem is not going to let that bother us. That we're doing what we're supposed to do. And if we're doing what we're supposed to do, then it's not our problem that somebody hates us for it. That's for Hashem to take care of, not for us to take care of. That's the way it goes. So the Navi here describes the war with Seir, with Edom, a little bit more in detail. So it says he killed 10,000. And then it says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vaseres alafim chayim, 10,000 live soldiers, shavu b'nei Yehuda. The b'nei Yehuda captured. In war, they took 10,000 POWs. Vayivyum l'rosh hasala, they brought them up to the top of this stone. Remember the stone we talked about that they captured? It was a strategic stone and it was very high up. They brought them to the top of the stone. Vayash lichum merosh hasela, they threw them off the stone. V'chulam nivko, they were all smashed to smithereens. So they took the 10,000 POWs and shoved them off the cliff and destroyed them.
You want to do that?
No.
Thank you.
No. Now, keep in mind that Amatziyahu was a righteous king. So he must have had a cheshbon, he must have had a reason for why he did this. But it was wrong. What the Medrash says that was the wrong thing to do. Now, what was his cheshbon for doing it? But nevertheless, it was wrong. We have to understand that. We'll get back to that. But he obviously had a reason for doing it. He could have just killed them by the sword. I mean, if he was going to kill the POWs, just kill them. I mean, but here he takes them up to the top of the stone, throws them off the cliff. I mean, it's dramatic. So what's he doing? Then the next pasuk says, pasuk Yud Gimel, Uvnei HaGedud, and the army, Asher Heshiv Amatzio Milech Hasimo LaMilchama, that Amatzio had sent back in the war, meaning the ones from Yisrael, Vayivshetu Bari Yehuda Mishomron Van Beis Charon. They came down from Shomron and attacked Yehuda while the army was with Edom. Now Yehuda was relatively defenseless. These 100,000 soldiers, they had gone all the way back to Shomron. And then they were angry, and now they came back and attacked Yehuda. Vayakumehem Shloshes Alafim. They killed 3,000 people. Vayavozu Biza Rabba. They took a great amount of spoils. So the enemies that they had made by sending back the 100,000 now hurt them. They came back and killed 3,000 people and took spoils of war. So you can ask, I don't understand. He did what he was supposed to do. He sent them back. What happened over here? So the Medrash says that because he did the wrong thing by throwing them off the cliff, Hashem punished him and brought those 100,000 people back to Yehuda to take retribution. So here you have that he created enemies, but he created enemies because Hashem told him to. Hashem wanted him to create those enemies. He said, send them home. Don't take them with. What was the message that Hashem wanted the B'nai Yisrael, meaning the northern kingdom, to get? He wanted them clearly to get the message, you people do Averis, we don't need you. Hashem says, I don't need you. I don't want you involved with Yehuda. Yehuda does mitzvahs. You do Averis. They're going to win the war without you. They don't need you. But once Yehuda also does an Avera, well, then already the lines are blurred between the two of them. And now those army from Yisrael, they come back and they wreak havoc. Then, Vayhi acharei bo Amatzio mehakos es Adomim, and it was after Amatzio came back from striking Edom, Vayavei es Elohei b'nei Seir, he brought the gods of Seir, Vayamidem lo leluhim, and he put them up for himself as a god, V'lifneim ishtachave, and in front of them he would bow, V'lehem yikater, and he would burn incense to them. So he started worshipping Avodah Zarah. Vayicharaf Hashem ba'amatzio, and Hashem got angry at Amatzio. Vayishtachi lav Navi, and he sent him a Navi. Vayomer lo, and he sent him, Lama darashta es Elohei ha'am, asher lo hitzilu es amam yadecha. Why are you seeking out the God of the nation that didn't save them from you? I mean, it's one thing to worship Avodah Zarah, but this is an Avodah Zarah that failed. This Avodah Zarah couldn't protect its own people from you. And it was when the Navi spoke to Amatzio, Vayomalo, the Amatzio said to the Navi, Halio Eitz Lamelech Nisanucha, were you given as a advisor to the king? Chadalecha, stop talking. Lama Yakucha, why should you be struck down? Vayechdal Hanavi, Navi stopped. But Vayomer, he said, Yadati, I know ki ya'atz Elokim lahashchisecha, that Hashem has designs to destroy you. Ki asis azos, because you did this, v'lo shamata la'atzasi, you don't listen to my advice. And then it says, Amatziyahu decided to attack Yehuda, as we learned in Malachim. And of course, as we know, he gets soundly defeated. First Yoash puts him down verbally, and then Hashem, and then he gets beaten badly. So the Navi tells us here in Divrei Hayamim, in Pasuk Chaf, why did Amatzio attack? What a foolish thing to do. Here, they're angry at him anyway, and now he has the weaker army, and he goes and attacks Melech Yisrael. What's he doing? Why? Even if he was warned by the king of Israel, don't do this, because I'm going to really beat you. So the pasuk says, "V'lo shama Amatziyahu." Amatziyahu did not listen to Yehoash. Ki meho Elokim hi, because this came from Hashem. Leman titam biyad, in order to give them over in the hands of Melech Yisrael. Ki darshu es Elohei Edom, because they sought out the gods of Edom. So because they worshipped the Avodah Zarah of Edom, Hashem caused them to attack, to have this bright idea of attacking Melech Yisrael and then being beaten badly. They knocked down part of the wall, and they took the gold and silver, etc. Okay, so the progression is as follows. First, we have that Amatzio is doing the right thing. And in doing the right thing, the Navi comes to him and says, don't take with you from Melech Yisrael. And Amatzio listens, and he doesn't, even though they get angry at him, and he loses his money, and he has less of an army. And he goes and he wins the war. Then he does something wrong, and he takes the 10,000 prisoners and throws them off the cliff. And then, because of that, Hashem puts it in the heads, in the minds of those who were angry anyway, to come down and attack. Now, they didn't attack until then, because Hashem didn't let them. Hashem did not put it in their minds to come and attack, even though they were angry. But once Amatzio did something wrong, then he brings them in and they attack. Then Amatzio does further wrong and brings back the gods of Edom. And therefore, Hashem brings the Navi to him to warn him about it. He doesn't listen. And because of that, Hashem puts it in his head to go and attack Yisrael, Malchi Yisrael, in which he's soundly defeated. That's the progression. So it all starts with the mistake of throwing the Edomim off the cliff. Now, what was wrong with throwing them off the cliff? First of all, let's make sure that we understand. It was not wrong to kill them. That's not what was wrong. What was wrong? The Medrash says that Hashem says to Amatzio, it doesn't say it literally, but this is what it says, that the Bnei Noach do not keep the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, when they do Averos, they're Chayev Misa, they get killed. What's the method of killing them that the Torah prescribes? The sword. That's the method. What method did he use? Which is what? Skila. He used stoning. He used skila. Skila is not a punishment, a form of capital punishment that the Torah prescribes for non-Jews. There are four different capital punishments that are prescribed for Jews who deserve capital punishment, as we know. Skila, stoning, sreifa, burning, hereg, which is beheading, that's the sword, and chenek, which is strangulation. Those are the four. For non-Jews, the only one is hereg, is the sword. That's the only way to do it. Here, he chose to do skila. Now, why did he choose to do skila? What's the reason why he did this? The 10,000 we killed deserved to be killed. They were bad people. They were not righteous, and they were not tzaddikim. They were not innocent. They deserved to be killed. But he killed them with skila. Why did he choose to do skila? So there is, some of the Mefarshim say that he wanted to do something similar to Azazel, to something like that of throwing off the cliff. It seems that Amatzio wanted to make a more public example of these 10,000. Because killing by the sword, I mean, that's, you know, war is war. That's what happens. But here, to take them to the top of the cliff and throw them off a cliff, that's much more public and much more dramatic.
You were saying they were hanging?
Yeah, hanging is not found in the Chumash for sure. It's debatable whether you find it in Navi at all. I know that people believe that Haman was hung. It's not clear that he was killed by hanging. He was hung, but that may have been after he was dead. It's not clear. The killing by hanging might be a modern misunderstanding of the Navi, of Scripture. That might be a misunderstanding. It's not clear that anywhere in the Navi that a person is killed by hanging. At any rate, but he made a public spectacle of it by throwing them off the cliff. Now, why would he do that? Why did he want to make it public? So it would seem that Amatzio wanted to make it public because he wanted to show this is what happens to those who misbehave, who don't follow the Torah, who don't follow what Hashem says, who are going to harass Jewish people. This is what happens, which may make a lot of sense. But even though it makes a lot of sense, it's not what the Torah says. Contrast that with the Navi making a very strong point about Amatziahu not killing the children of those who committed treason against his father, like it says in the Torah of Moshe. As we pointed out when we read that, clearly Amatziahu wanted to kill the children, otherwise there's no reason to point that out. But Amatziahu didn't do it because he listened to the Torah, because the Torah says don't do it, even though, as we pointed out, it is logical to kill the children, because the children likely will follow their parents, and also because it becomes a very big deterrent to other people to commit treason, because you're putting your entire family's life in danger. It makes sense logically to do it, which is why all the kings did it. But we are not allowed to do it. And Amatziahu didn't do it as he was not supposed to do it. Here, he crossed that line. So the first time he didn't, but here he does. And where he wasn't supposed to, even though it made sense, it's a logical thing, make a public spectacle of their deaths. That's what a public hanging does, right? It makes a public spectacle so people don't do it either. So it makes sense. It's logical. But Torah says not to do it. And he did it. And because of that, things begin to spiral downward. So first of all, Hashem uses the anger of the 100,000 soldiers of Yisrael to bring them back and to take spoils and to kill people. And then Amatziahu, as one thing leads to another, as we often find, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, one mitzvah causes another mitzvah, and avera goreres avera, God forbid, a sin brings about another sin. So once he started to slip, he slipped some more. However, I want to point out to you that when it says that he brought back the Avodah Zarah and he bowed to it, so if he really became a Rasha, it would not have said in the beginning that he did the Yashar Bnei Hashem, that he did what was right in the eyes of Hashem. And therefore, it's clear that when it says that he bowed down, it doesn't literally mean that he began to worship Avodah Zarah and he stopped worshiping Hashem. As we know, Avodah Zarah was a terrible Yetzer Hara in their day. And what it means is he started to dabble in it. And the people around him worshipped Avodah Zarah. He didn't stop it. It became something where before it wasn't present, and now it's something that creeped in, and it started to become something. And because of that, the Navi comes to him and warns him that he better stop. Now, if it was overt Avodah Zarah, then it would have been clear he's doing something very, very wrong. This was something which was dabbling in something which was bad. But then Avi tells him, you better stop. And he says, I don't want to listen to you. So he says, okay, but now you're going to get it. And now Hashem puts it in his head to go attack Yisrael, and he gets beaten. Now, what is the role of Yisrael, of the northern kingdom here? You see, both with the Avera of throwing them off the cliff, and now with the Avera of Avodah Zarah, Hashem punishes him using Melech Yisrael. First with the 100,000 people coming back, and then with him attacking Melech Yisrael and getting beaten. Both times Hashem punishes Amatzio using the northern kingdom. What's the message over there? So initially, Hashem made it clear, Yehuda is not Yisrael, Yisrael is not Yehuda. Yehuda, Amatzio, had hired 100,000 soldiers. The Navi comes and says, don't. You're not them. You're tzaddikim. They're Rishayim. There's a clear line of demarcation between you. Don't get involved with them. No matter what the consequences are. You have a smaller army. You lost money. Now you're causing them to hate you. Doesn't make a difference. Send them home. And he listens. But once the lines start to get blurred, once Melech Yehuda starts to do Averos, and Yehuda along with him, so now that you have that, the lines are now blurred, and now Melech Yisrael has power over Yehuda. First with that 100,000 coming back and causing trouble, which is less of a thing than the war itself, and then this crazy war in which there's terrible destruction that happens and loss of, not just loss of life, but loss of infrastructure and money and defense, everything gets ruined in Yehuda because of this. What would have happened with those 100,000 who were angry had Amatziahu not thrown the Edomim off the cliff? Had he done what he was supposed to do? So Hashem would not have put in their heads to come back and attack. So Amatzio would have come home victorious and as a tzaddik without the gods, without the Avodah Zarah of the Edomim. He still would have been a big tzaddik. Hashem's protection would have been all around him. The Melech Yisrael couldn't have done anything to him. Those 100,000 people would have been angry. They would have been angry, but he would have come back victorious and unscathed and having done everything. What message would that have sent all the people who those 100,000 were bad-mouthing Amatziahu to? Ah, they send us home. Who does he think he is? Oh, I think he's pretty good. He beat Edom, he comes home, he's victorious. I think that, you know, it looks like he's actually got a strong army over there. Would the Melech Yisrael still feel that he had a much stronger army than Melech Yehuda? Not necessarily anymore. He really did have power. Look at that. It would have sent a very strong message that Hashem takes care of tzaddikim. Hashem takes care of them. Hashem ohev tzaddikim. He takes care of them. You're a tzaddik, you're protected. Don't worry about your money. Don't worry about your army. Don't worry. You're good. Everything's fine. And you can and Melech Yisrael, people there, the army, you can get as angry as you want. You're not going to be able to touch them. They're on top because they're tzaddikim. That's what would have happened. The message would have been very, very powerful. A very strong message would have been sent to those who are doing Averos in Yisrael, in the Malchus Yisrael, the Malchus Yisrael. But once Amatziahu starts to slip, then the opposite happens. Melech Yisrael is given power over Melech Yehuda, and those that were angry actually do take some revenge and come back and cause trouble. And therefore, the situation spirals out of control in Yehuda. Now, it's important to note that, as we said, he does run away to Lachish.
Aren't they now saying it doesn't matter that we don't listen to Hashem because we beat him anyway?
That's what happens. That's the unfortunate result of the Averus, because then all the messages get blurred. I mean, that's the problem. So, but still, keep in mind that Amatzio is still remembered as a righteous king, even though that unfortunately did something wrong over here. We've had examples of this before. Other kings who were basically righteous and did something wrong either at the end of their reign or around the middle of their reign, whatever it is, and that's what happens. But once he dies, then his son is still going to become king. So it's not that the line is wiped out. It's not that his children are bad. His son, Azaryahu or Uziyahu is also going to be a righteous king. As we will see, he also will do something wrong for which there will be consequences. But he is still remembered as a righteous king, as we'll see in the next episode that we have of the Malchi Yehuda. So we're getting the same type of message over here in Malachim, which we've had before, where you have tzaddikim who are trying to do well. When they slip, then Hashem doesn't pull punches. If he's the king, then he's held to a very high expectations. And that's what happens over here with Amatsyahu. But that's the reign of Amatsyahu. And again, that brings us, we're in Malachim, we're in Perek Yudala now, and we're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21. That's where we're going to start from Yitzhak Hashem next week.
I didn't get the four capital punishments. I got Herod, which is sword, Skela, which is stoning.
Srefa, it's burning. And Chenek, which is strangulation. Skela, Srefa, Herod, Chenek. We say it on Yom Kippur in the Vidui after each one of Esrei with the Al-Chaitz. At the end over there, we say for Averos, for which we are Chayev, the four punishments, Skela, Srefa, Herod, Chenek. They're listed over there.
So even if comes and fights with him and wins, he still gets to be king
put him on fire, and that would have been okay.
No, that also would have been because
what can't you do to Goyim?
The way that the Goyim are supposed to be killed is the sword.
Okay, that's the only way.
Yeah, that's the way that's what it's supposed to be. Right.
So you don't learn from other people's mistakes. And ego,
yeah. It's always there. I don't know, we don't learn from people, but yeah, it's always, human beings are human beings.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.